Communion. There are worldly forms of communion, and there are other worldly forms of communion. I think of our Christ Community Lutheran School community, Lutheran School. I think about the ways in which so many of our students have experienced communion in worldly ways this past year. I think about locker rooms that are absolutely electric after a great victory. And at the same time, I think about locker rooms that are absolutely supportive and encouraging in the agony of defeat. I think of the academic bowl folks that went and won the state championship and the excitement that must have been had when the final question or was answered or the problem was solved or the equation was resolved or whatever it is you academic folks do, and that joy of being on a team together must have been absolutely overwhelming. I think of dinner tables that are filled with family and friends for great holiday gatherings, ham, turkey, whatever it is, and the joy of sitting there, seeing one another's faces, even over and against the political disagreements that may be bubbling under the surface, and yet you're together, and there is joy in that kind of communion. I think of a same kind of situation where a family gathers in a kitchen after a tragic circumstance and someone's making coffee or tea and neighbors are bringing by cookies or food for the week ahead. Again, that communion and the joy that we find in it. I think of lunch and learns over the past several weeks here and the great joy of having different kinds of soup that you would never make for your lonesome in your own house, but now you get to eat the soup here and you get to share it with newfound friends. And there is joy in that worldly communion. Of course, I think of 40,000 Cardinal fans in October. And the joy of that worldly communion. But I also remember there's an other worldly kind of communion that we are called to remember in church. The kind of communion that is reflected in passages of Scripture like Psalm 133. How pleasant it is, my brothers and sisters, when brothers and sisters dwell together in community. I think of Jesus Christ who says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there is a holy community that takes place, a holy communion that takes place there. The writer of Hebrews says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves as God's children together, because in that gathering of God's children, there is some otherworldly kind of communion or community that's to be had there. There is something about singing together, even if you can't carry a tune worth a lick, of singing together with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because we know that the body of Christ is encouraged there. Every time we gather together for worship in church, we are invited to learn another slice or aspect about what community is all about. Maundy Thursday is no different. And particularly on this Maundy Thursday, the thing that we learn about this otherworldly holy communion that we are called to celebrate and embrace and to be filled with joy about, Maundy Thursday teaches us the importance of retreat, of hunkering down, of retrenching the battle lines, of nourishing and resting in the company of fellow travelers, warriors, and friends. Our inclination is to stay in the fight, to constantly expend more effort, to spend the already depleted levels of spiritual energy and emotional energy and physical energy that you have. Sin in us tells us to keep on trying, pushing through, expending the effort. Maundy Thursday says, if you are going to enjoy life and know God, then there comes a point in time where you have to stop pushing so hard. To remember that there is a Spirit of God who is the energy and power of God who is active in spite of what you do or do not do. And that Spirit of God sometimes says, you need to take a break so that I can rearm you for the fight, so that I can nourish you for the journey ahead, so that I can live in you as the temple for me, the Spirit of God says, that you're supposed to be. Maundy Thursday tells us to take a break. I want you to think about this. On Maundy Thursday, as Pastor Meggers has already pointed out for us, there are three sets of commands that we hear and we have heard over and over and over again. You may remember those commands. The first command is to love, say it with me, one another. Sure. The second command is to remember Christ and especially the body and blood that was broken and shed for you. And then finally, as we learned in the prior lesson, as Christ went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to keep watch and to do what? To pray. There's a fourth command that was given that Maundy Thursday. And until this week, I had not remembered that command, never been trained or studied that command in seminary. Anybody else know what it is? Throw a dart? That command was given hours earlier when Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go find a room, a place of retreat where you and me and the Holy Spirit can rest before the coming storm so that we can have some deep conversation about things that matter most to me and my heart before all hell breaks loose. It's the command that is easily overlooked on this Maundy Thursday, the command we most quickly forget. You see, you can't get to the three commands that form the core of Maundy Thursday until the disciples are obedient to the command of Christ, go find a retreat for us. Go find a place to rest your soul. For me to spend some time in holy communion with those who matter most to me in preparation for the time to serve the entire world. I don't know where you find your greatest friends or your strongest peer group. Kids, I don't know who you hang out with and why you've chosen the friends in your school that you have, but here's my challenge to you. Are they people, are your friends the ones that feed your soul? Are they the ones that you can retreat with, that you can get away with? Not to play Xbox or go throw the ball around outside or to go shopping with or do something else. But are they your friends? Are they your holy communion? Because they transact with you holy things that are from another world. The invitation of Maundy Thursday, the slice, the dice, the shape, the show that it puts on our life in community with one another is this. Know people, find people, marry people who will support you with spiritual things given by the Spirit of God so that you can succeed in this life for which God wants you to have an abundance. Our inclination, you understand, because of our sin, is to keep in the fight, to stay away from places of refuge, to find friends who are just there to share the activity, but not the rest. To share the effort of our words, but not the reflection on what we have been speaking and what we have heard. But you can't get to Maundy Thursday until the disciples finally listened at first to Jesus to go find a room and prepare the Passover feast and to rest in the great salvation which God had already done in the Old Testament times, and to then go and labor after the feast of Passover was over for the salvation which would be once and for all for the whole world, you and I included. There is joy, you see, in Holy Communion, the communion which is our Christian fellowship. That fellowship receiving a nod at this altar this morning as together we remembered as the baptized church that he has called us to receive his body and blood. And then, in turn, to encourage one another in good times and bad, through wins and losses, in life and death, so that when the end finally comes, we can all stand before the throne of grace, gathered by his Spirit, and rest once and for all in the joy of God's great and holy communion. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in this rest and Sabbath, this Passover, this communion, which is ours, authored by the Spirit of Christ himself. Amen.